Welcome to Studio Classroom on the Air. This is the place to come when you want to have some fun. My name is Rebecca. Yesterday we started learning about an interesting book called Hatchet. Well, today we get to continue this lesson, so we get to continue learning about Hatchet. Well, today's lesson is called Hatchet. I think you probably already knew that. And here's something that we're going to be talking about today is what to expect in the story. Friends, you're going to have to stay tuned to find out exactly what that means. Okay, let's get started. Come on.
Hatchet. Hatchet's author, Gary Paulson, is an acclaimed award-winning author of novels for young adults. The book is an exciting, fast-paced adventure. As a result, the book has become a standard component of English education for many native speakers. The story also has a lot to offer those who are not native English speakers. It is very accessible, especially when compared to other young adult survival stories like The Hunger Games. Hatchet follows a simple plot that alternates between interesting descriptions and moments of great tension. Paulson uses language that is both direct and clear.
Hi everyone, welcome to Language Lab. 首先我们看 acclaim 这个动词。 acclaim 是指公开称赞、赞扬或者是欢迎，大多数是用被动语态。例如 Bruno Mars is being acclaimed by the press as one of the most charismatic performers nowadays. 布鲁诺火星人被媒体称誉为当代最有魅力的表演者之一。或者是 Benedict Cumberbatch is acclaimed for his portrayal of Sherlock Holmes.班尼迪克·康伯拜奇因为成功演活了福尔摩斯这个角色而赢得一致的好评。Acclaim 也可以当名词，是不可数名词。例如 ，The director won critical acclaim for his latest movie。这位导演最新的电影得到了极佳的影评。继续我们看的是 component 这个名词 ，com 这个字首有共同的意思 ，pon 这个字根是指放置，所以 component 是指组成部分或成分。例如 ,love and trust are key components of good marriages. 爱与信任是良好婚姻的关键性的要素。或者是 ,fresh vegetables and seafood are essential components of a Mediterranean diet. 新鲜蔬菜以及海鲜是地中海饮食的基本元素。Component 也指零件。例如 ,most of this car's components are made in Germany. 这辆车大部分的零件都在德国制造。
Well, let's get right into the text. We read about the author. Hatchet's author, Gary Paulson, is an acclaimed award-winning author of novels for young adults. This book is an exciting, fast-paced adventure. Gabe, in general, do you like books that are exciting and fast-paced?
Yes, they're better than slow and boring like Herman Melville's Moby Dick.Which I have not read, but I heard there's just too much attention on detail.
Well, I did try reading that book.
Oh, yeah?
And I couldn't finish it.
It's a classic, and it's a classic for good reason, but perhaps I would enjoy reading Hatchet a little more, because things that are fast-paced are more interesting, right? But as a result, the book has become a standard component of English education for many native speakers.So you know that a lot of native English speakers are reading this novel. Why don't you check it out?
Right. You all should check this novel out, and perhaps I should do the same. Even though I've seen the movie, but now it's time to read the book, because I have been told, and I do read, the books are better than the movie.
Right.
Well, anyway, back to this book, Hatchet. The story also has a lot to offer.Those who are not native English speakers. Now you see this phrase, a lot to offer, What does it mean and how can you use it? Well, you can use this phrase when you want to say that someone has a lot of something and it's really good and they can share it with someone else.
And I often hear this phrase maybe used to talk about how many things there is that you can do when you're traveling, for example, or on a cruise or something like that. There's a lot of services that you can use or you can take advantage of. For example, the cruise has a lot to offer. You can sit on the boat or the ship for many days. You can also get out at different places. The buffet has a lot to offer. There isn't just meat. There's all kinds of meat, but vegetables and desserts. It has a lot to offer.
Those are some great examples as to how to use the phrase a lot to offer. So friends, now it's time for you to take some time and create your own sentences using the phrase a lot to offer. Well, this story has a lot to offer. Offer those who are not native English speakers. It is very accessible, especially when compared to other young adult survival stories like The Hunger Games.
What? But everybody loves The Hunger Games.
Well, that's what I thought too when I read this. Everyone loves The Hunger Games, including myself. I read all three of those books and they were great.
Really? So maybe our author is just saying that while those books are great, they're really good, this book, Hatchet, is even easier to read and to understand and to follow along with?
Maybe.
Maybe.
That could be probably. That could
be
what the
author...
Yeah, we should. Why not?
Let's ask Simon.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Hatchet follows a simple plot that alternates between interesting descriptions and moments of great tension.
Well, there are a couple things we want to talk about from that sentence. The first you see right here, to alternate between something and something else. Rebecca, what does that mean?
Well, this just means that one thing happens first, and then something else happens, and then you go back to the first thing. So they kind of take turns.
Yeah, so just like here at Studio Classroom, Rebecca and I alternate. We take turns talking, right? But you could use this to talk about maybe a restaurant. I mean, I always like using restaurants for examples. At Teppanyaki, every time I go, I alternate between the lamb and the chicken. So this time I'll get the lamb, but I love the chicken. So next time I'll get the chicken, and then the next time I'll get the lamb. I alternate between these two items.
Lamb and chicken. I really like lamb and chicken, so it's nice to alternate between the two. Well, we see another word in the sentence that we'd like to talk about, and that is the word tension. So in the story, it alternates between interesting descriptions and moments of great tension. What is tension? That is just conflicting elements in a story that keep it interesting.
That's right. Or maybe conflicting elements in a relationship or something else, right? For example, you could say there is a lot of tension in our relationship. And that might be appropriate for our lesson because things are not going well in Brian's family. Perhaps there is a lot of tension in their relationships.
Right. Now, although there are moments of great tension in the story, our author says Paulson uses language that is both direct and clear, so it's easy to understand. Well, this lesson is called Hatchet. Do you think we should go bury the hatchet?
Well, let's go listen to a direct and clear explanation of that phrase in
the Info Cloud.
Welcome to InfoCloud. Today, we are going to bury the hatchet. Now, for those of you not familiar with the word, a hatchet is a small axe that you can use with one hand.
And for those of you not familiar with the phrase, to bury the hatchet means to make peace, or to settle differences, or an argument.
Some people say that this term comes from an American Indian peace ceremony to officially seal peace treaties. They would bury weapons from each side as a way to mark the end of hostilities.
Today, we often use this term to talk about disagreements between people, but not usually for simple disagreements.
So if you and your sibling have had a long-standing argument over something, maybe one of you will decide that it's time to bury the hatchet.
Or if my husband and I have been arguing all weekend about something, I might also decide to bury the hatchet.
Now, what you actually do to bury the hatchet isn't specific. The expression means to decide to make peace.
So maybe you decide to compromise or apologize or forgive the other person involved to make peace. Any or all of those things can be involved when you want to bury the hatchet.
今天来学一个很有用的谚语, bury the hatchet. Hatchet 是一种短柄的小斧头。 你可能曾经在电影中看过印第安人用这种小斧头当武器。 Bury the hatchet, 把斧头埋起来。 意思就是双方和解,不再彼此为仇。 当有人说, it's time to bury the hatchet, 就是在说是时候放下手中的武器,言归于好了。据说, 这个成语源自于美国印第安人传统的休战仪式。他们把战斧埋在地下来代表和平协议已经正式完成。不过,通常 bury the hatchet 是用在重大意见不合的事情上面,如果只是无伤大雅的吵架,就不可以说 let's bury the hatchet. 这就是今天的 InfoCloud, 我们下次请关注。
Studio Classroom is on the air. Hey everyone, welcome back to Studio Classroom, where we are talking about the book, Hatchet. Now, we already learned that this book has a lot to offer to non-native English speakers. So, for all of you out there, if you are looking for a good book to read, you might want to consider Hatchet. Now, the writing style is very interesting. It includes some good description as well as moments of great tension. Let's learn more about the writing style now.
Hatchet. In addition, he avoids heavy use of specialized terms and idioms. Instead, he tends to provide descriptions of things such as animals, birds, and plants. That said, the subject matter of the book may be quite removed from the experiences of many readers. They should be prepared to research things like porcupine and fishing weir. Perhaps most importantly, the book has aged well. It was first published in the late 1980s. If you are looking for a book to read this summer, Hatchet offers you an exciting tale of surviving and thriving that's hard to resist.
Okay, 接下来我们看 specialized 这个形容词。 它原来是 specialize, 专攻或专精于这个动词的过去分词, 当形容词是指专门的或专业的, 例如, this job requires specialized skills in analyzing data, 这份工作需要分析数据的专业技能, 或者是 a person must go through specialized training to be in this squad, 要进入这个特种部队需要经过专门的训练, specialized 也指专科的, 例如, not many doctors are familiar with this specialized field of medicine. 不是很多医生都熟悉这个医学的专科领域。 最后我们看的是 thrive 这个动词。 thrive 是指茁壮生长或者是蓬勃发展。 至于它的过去式可以是自尾直接加d 变成 thrived 或者是 throve, T-H-R-O-V-E。 过去分词也可以直接自尾加上d 或者是拼成 thriven, T-H-R-I-V-E-N. 例如, the company really thrived before the Great Recession. 其他 公司在经济大萧条之前非常的兴旺。Thrive 也只在困难或挑战中以此为乐，或者是可以出色应对。如果要说明是什么样的困难的话，是用 on 这个介系词。例如 Matthew thrives on the challenges in life. Matthew 以面对生命中的挑战为乐。And now let's get back to our teachers.
Now earlier, we learned that Paulson uses language that is both direct and clear. Now we read, in addition, he avoids heavy use of specialized terms and idioms. Now that could be a real blessing because there shouldn't be too many words that are difficult.
That's right.Now, heavy use of something is using it a lot or frequently. So maybe there are some specialized terms, but you don't see it that often. We read on, instead, he tends to provide descriptions of things such as animals, birds, and plants. So he tries to keep it simple.
Right. That said, the subject matter of the book may be quite removed from the experiences of many readers.So, we want to talk about that phrase, that said. Now, when might you use this phrase and what does it mean? It really means like as a result. So, after you said something, as a result, the subject matter, and then you continue with what you were saying.
Or it could be to contrast what was just said, right? So, of course, a lot of it is written in very simple ways.However, the subject matter may be quite removed from the experiences of some readers. So for another example of how to use this phrase, the restaurant food was overpriced. That said, we had a great time. So even though it was overpriced, we had a great time there.
And then there's another phrase that we would like to talk about in this sentence, and that is to be removed from. If you're removed from something, this means that it's very different,and far from something else.
That's right. So, you know, some movies, actually the best movies, are those that people can relate to. There's always characters inside that you feel like there's a connection with, right? However, you could say the movie is so far removed from reality that it's hard to enjoy. And there are just some stories like that.
That's right. Well, our lesson continues. They should be prepared to research things.Like porcupine and fishing weir. What is that?
Did you say porcupine?
Porcupine.
Porcupine? I love porcupines. Right. So these would be examples of specialized terms, and they don't come up that often, at least according to the author of our lesson. Perhaps most importantly, the book has aged well. It was first published in the late 1980s. So, What our author means is that was a long time ago, and that now people are still enjoying it. It has aged well.
Now, it's interesting because oftentimes when I think of a book that's aged well, I think of books that were written many, many, many years ago, maybe 100 years ago.
Yeah, or more, right?
Or more. And so, like, for me, a book that was written in the 1980s is really not that old. So I thought it was interesting that our author...said that this book has aged well, since, in my opinion, it's only 38 years old.
Right. Oh, but speaking of this phrase, though, I often use this phrase to talk about people. And perhaps you've met people who are pretty old. However, they look a lot younger than they actually are, maybe 20 or 30 years younger than they are. We could say, wow, he has aged well, or she really aged well.
Well, if you are looking for a book to read this summer, Hatchet offers you an exciting tale of survival and thriving that's hard to resist. So this summer, in all of your free time, you may just want to pick up the book Hatchet and read it.
That's right, because after all, it's hard to resist. That means you're going to have a hard time refusing that offer. You know what else is hard to resist? Always is
a review skit.
Hey, you!
Who? Me?
Can you survive in the wild all by yourself?
I don't know.
With nothing but a hatchet?
Oh, whoa, oh, that is a big hatchet.
So, can you survive without the benefit of modern technology?
I don't know. I've never tried.
Well, my little friend, read Gary Paulson's book called Hatchet, and maybe you can learn a thing or two.
Oh?
It's about a young man, just about your age.
My age?
And after a plane crash, he finds himself forced to survive in the wilderness with nothing but a hatchet and the clothes he is wearing.
Oh, it's a story of survival.
The young man has to face a never-ending stream of hurdles.
Like what?
Pain, hunger, loneliness, danger, the elements.
Oh, those challenges would be hard to overcome.
Exactly.
You'd have to build a shelter and make a fire and find food and...
And don't forget the threat of wild animals. Roar! And contending with your own weakness. Ah!
Right. Well, that sounds like a great book. I'd like to read it. In my nice cozy house with a nice cup of hot chocolate.
No, wait. Don't you want to live here in the wilderness with only this hatchet to survive?
No, thanks. I'd rather live in my nice house. Well, goodbye.
Hey, wait. Did you say hot chocolate? Wait for me.
So Hatchet, Rebecca, you gonna read it?
Well, yes. Like I already told you, I've seen the movie, so now it's time for me to read the book. Then I can compare notes. I can see which one is better, and I can see if the movie actually followed the book.
Exactly. Well, you know what? This book is about surviving in the wilderness and dealing with your own maybe internal problems and things. And, you know, I know a lot of people, there are certain people in life that have a hard time getting around, and they need extra help.
Oh, are you talking about dogs? Guide dogs?
Well, right. So our next lesson is about some dogs who can help those people. Let's learn more next time right here on
Studio Classroom. A friend cares at all times. A friend endures at all times. A good friend lasts a lifetime. I am so proud to have you in my life. A good friend lasts a lifetime.